Thank you, Tom.
We are starting. We are regathering. Y'all, come on in. I think half of us are still floating from that beautiful, quiet meditation time that we had at the end of this morning. So draw those interesting conversations to a close. Come back in. Well, as we reconvene, there are just two or three little announcements that I would like to make. I'd like to begin by asking Kitty to come and tell us a bit more about Father Virgil Giordano's center. So, Kitty?
Just a second to tell you thank you very much for everything that you brought today. And the center, the people who are there are very, very grateful to have a place to come and spend the day. Like from Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, they say, just thank you that this place is open, and they're very, very grateful to have it there. We go through a lot of coffee, so thank you for the Folgers. We serve them soup that is generously made by a couple, brings it every single day. Now, we do not have a kitchen. We are not licensed to cook there. So, like I asked, well, whatever, like those noodle cups that we just put hot water in is fine. But we cannot prepare any food there. The paper cups and plates and soup spoons, which can only be, I only have found them at that Smart and Final at 5 points. So, anyway, very, very grateful for what was turned in today. They were looking forward to it. Yes. It is specifically, and I don't know the exact address, but if you're going on, take State Street as if you were going to Lake Kachuma, right after you turn onto Cali Real there, it's right on the right-hand side in a really yucky-looking shopping center. But that's, yeah, okay, yes. With a gun shop and the smoke shop in the same, yeah. Massage parlor. So that's a lovely. 4020 Cali Real. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We. Yes, yes, yes. We have a freezer and a refrigerator. Yeah. Yes, we can heat. Yes. No, there's those plastic. They have plastic soup spoons. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kitty. This is a wonderful work. And I also want to thank the Black group this morning for that superb table of goodies. They were wonderful. Thank you so much. And next week, the White group will have their opportunity to feed us. It's astonishing how quickly those tables clear. We are looking forward next week. Let me see if I can pull this up a bit. There we go. Next week to our old friend, Father Cyprian Consiglio, the prior of the new Camaldolese Hermitage, who is going to come down that narrow road from the Big Sur and join us. So do bring a friend, because he's bound to be wonderful. There will be singing, and he'll bring books for sale here so that you can get some books and some autographs as well. Well, it's my pleasure now to turn the rest of the morning over to Marianne for more of the same. Thanks, Marianne.
Thank you, Pat. So, I thought we would spend the next few moments before we have a little time of questions to talk about sort of the how and the why together. And as I've mentioned earlier, that my path for transformation, by starting out with being broken many times and coming back together, I've been flung into that place of openness and brokenness, that there's no choice other than to surrender. And I want to start this with a little poem that I love that kind of expresses that via negativa that I didn't get a chance to talk about, but Mirabai talked about is the downward descent into opening up and being broken. And this is a wonderful poem by Rashini. There is a brokenness out of which comes the unbroken, a shatteredness out of which blooms the unshatterable. There is a sorrow beyond all grief which leads to joy, and a fragility out of whose depths emerges strength. There is a hollow space, too vast for words, through which we pass with each loss, out of whose darkness we are sanctioned into being. There is a cry deeper than all sound, whose serrated edges cut the heart as we break open to the place inside, which is unbreakable and whole, while learning to sing. Isn't that Rashini? Isn't that lovely? Kind of says it all. So we come from the tradition of Christianity that has developed over the last several years, the centering prayer. And we can thank Thomas Keating, who has revived this mystical theology in the Roman Catholic Church, really based in part on the teachings of John of the Cross. And he blends in the Zen practice of Seizan, which is a whole body practice, a sitting infusing with the whole body, so that the posture is also very important. And it's not really mindfulness, but it's more that whole body practice. And the goal of the Christian contemplative practice is divine union. And it's a method of refining our intuitive faculties so that we can more easily enter into this intuitive contemplative prayer. And it's designed to withdraw our attention from ordinary awareness and to follow our thoughts, let them go, and open our awareness to the spiritual level of our beings. And as Reverend Tim spoke about a couple of weeks ago so beautifully, that this path is actually, he talked about process theology. It's really the dynamic process of becoming an ongoing change. It's a dynamic theology. God participates in the creative development. And in centering prayer, we're consenting to the presence of God, and there's an inner alchemy that leads to evolution of self-development of our consciousness and our connection with God. Some of you may have studied a bit of Teilhard's work with looking at that evolutionary process of consciousness, creating a field of love that goes increasingly toward complex forms until we reach that omega point. And Jacob Berma, I finally learned how to pronounce his name, actually is along those same lines. And he placed cosmology at the center of the theology with a reverence for nature. So the radical notion of letting go was inherent in all of his teachings and with cosmology. Bruno Barnhart, another name you probably are familiar with, he talked about the wisdom about knowing through participation, putting on the mind of Christ. And our own Richard Rohr, who most recently many of us have been studying and participating in his teaching. And yesterday, his book, The Cosmic Christ, was released. So I don't know if any of you have it yet, but he's really looking at the whole spectrum of creation being part of that divine energy, and also the practice of kenosis, of letting go and moving into that cosmic notion of Christ. So now I'm going to spend a couple moments before we have questions teaching you a process that maybe some of you aren't familiar with. It's called the welcoming prayer. Anybody practice? I know a couple of you know about it. And I hopefully you can take this home with you as something to utilize in moments of difficulty. And I'm going to start with another Rumi poem, and you may all know this one. It's one of my favorite. It's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So the welcoming prayer is really something that has come out of the centering prayer movement. It works on the separation between the I, the small I, lost in my reactive desires and aversions, to the deeper I, my true self. So rather than simply trying to let go of the thought that allows us to ride this gathering storm of emotion and physical energy, when we are in frustration or even in grandiosity, this is not just about things that bother us, but sometimes we get caught up in our ego of grandiosity, or as she calls it, peacock feathers. And what this does is redirecting the energy, the path of energy, the sacred energy through our body, so that it's liberated from the small self and recaptured as vital energy for inner transformation. And you probably have picked up a theme throughout my talk this morning about transformation. And I mentioned that voice that came out of me, we're here to become love. And how do we do that? It's about this inner transformation. Moving out of our small, dualistic, dialectical thought processes, which we have two brains, so we are designed that way. But how do we bridge that into this non-dual, unitive awareness to become love? So, what we are trying to do is to bring our heart and body to equanimity, to have a creation of something new out of this. So this process with this prayer, it's a three-step process, and you can do it anytime in the grocery while you're waiting in line. You can do it in your car when you get stuck. You can do it anywhere if you kind of practice it first, or it can be drawn out. Three steps. You focus, you sink in to your sensations, you welcome whatever is an afflictive, I like that word, afflictive emotion, or even a egotistical, narcissistic emotion. And then you play with it for a while in inner state, and then you release it and let it go. So I'll just kind of take you through this, and then we're going to take a moment at the end just to try it on for size. It may not be for you, but I find it to be a wonderful, wonderful way to move into that kenotic state of letting go and allowing us to give a space for this transformation to occur. So we're going to start with focusing. We're going to feel this distress, emotion. This is counterintuitive. We don't like to feel these kind of things. But in order for transformation to occur, what do we have to do? We have to be broken open. We have to dive deep. And we have to face our shadow. So you may have a pain in your body, an emotional pain, a physical pain. But what the key here is that you have to keep a firm grounding in your body. It's a real body practice. So physical sensation, not a thought of, oh, I have cancer. Welcome cancer. No. Welcome my fear. Welcome my constriction. Welcome whatever comes into your body. See if you can be fully present to it. What is the sensation of fear? How does it feel? Constriction. What is the sensation of anger? Constriction. Don't try to change anything. Just be aware. Be present to it. Don't attach words after you've welcomed it. Evaluate it or analyze yourself. Just drop into it. When you can become physically aware without words and describing it, you can avoid that, what we talked about, spiritual bypass. And go right into your body so that you can work on this flow of energy that blocks that energy into divine spiritual transformation. So just feeling in your body, that's the first step. Then we're going to welcome, and this is the tough part, after we felt this constriction, welcome fear, welcome anger, whatever it is, welcome. It's counterintuitive, but it's important to do. So sitting in the sensation of your upset, gently, welcome, welcome. And this is not to knock you out of presence by being upset, but to hold it, be present to it. And again, it's paradoxical. We don't want to sit with our pain. It may be, this morning, I have a pain in my hip. I actually tweaked it walking up to Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. I call it my sacred sciatica. Welcome the pain. I can feel it. Hold it. Welcome. And maybe it's biological, psychological, spiritual. So you're creating that inner hospitality that Rumi spoke about. And by doing so, you can disarm it. You can take away its power to hurt you. Otherwise, it's going to chase you right back into your smaller self. And by welcoming whatever is difficult, or that you notice even of, well, I really did a good job today. Ooh, I'm going to feel really good about that. That's also an afflictive emotion. So the act of welcoming this anchors us in the now, the moment of unconditional presence where awareness and surrender converge. The small self is surrendered into the inner observer. It allows you to remain in alignment with that horizontal and vertical center. You stay present in the now. So hold that sensation of the upset in a spaciousness. It's like a container that surrounds it with the heart energy. I'm in pain, but there's my heart energy. I'm going to hold it for a moment, allowing it to be soothed and softened. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to surrender passively to this, but rather it's an inner attitude. Anything that you do with an inner state of bracing is going to throw you right back into your small self. And this has been my current practice. Whenever I start to feel that inner constriction, I know I'm being thrown into my small self, my dualistic stance of judgment, and I kind of automatically go into that open, like a lotus blossom, open, open. So when you can surrender, you can feel that softening of that energy of whatever is painful. You go back and forth, back and forth. Now, you may not be ready to let it go. That's okay. Just sit with it for a while. But once you feel that there is a shift in the energy of holding it so tight, then you're ready for that third step, letting go. Letting go. So that letting go is just for now, because it's going to come back. It's going to come back 100 times. But each time it comes back, it will have less energy to throw you off kilter into your small self. So don't rush it. but just simply say, I let go of my anger, my pain, I give it back to God. So, and I'm going to pronounce this badly, I think, but it's another Marianne. Her name's Arozowski, and she developed this process. She was a student of Thomas Keating, and she has now deceased, and her story is pretty dramatic in terms of even her death welcoming. It's a beautiful story of how she practiced this. But she developed this formula, and you may not want to use it quite in the extravagant form, but I find it very helpful. And so when she would notice the sensation in her body, let's say pain of my left hip, welcome pain, hold it, notice the constriction, allow it to go back and forth and soothe, and then when you're ready to let go, you say, I let go of my desire for security and survival. I let go of my desire for esteem and affection. I let go of my desire for power and control. Now, these three statements are the false self programs. So when we say these, we're sending a strong message to our unconscious. Let go of my false self. Let go of my small self. And finally, moving into unconditional presence of just be, I let go of my desire to change the situation, fully accepting whatever has come. So this practice is about inner alignment, to awaken and surrender our consciousness and still remain fully present to God. It frees up the energy. The false self operates at a low level of energy. And its vital energy, the divine energy, is blocked by these constrictions. But when we can open up, we unblock that. And we can increase our energy to this awakened consciousness. And this energy that's bound up in our identification of ourself is freed to identify and reach into that divine union. So I'm going to take just one slight little moment. I want you just to feel this, and then we're going to go into our question and answer. So just take a moment, kind of get into your body, and just notice anything that may come up. Maybe you're even anxious about getting out the door. My anxiety, a time, whatever comes up. Maybe there's a pain. Maybe you do have some deep longing or pain. But just notice it, and notice where you feel it in your body. Just take a moment. And then mentally just say, welcome, welcome. And allow that constriction to slowly open, unfold, like the opening of the lotus blossom. And whenever you're ready, let it go. And you may repeat or not. I let go of my desire for security and survival. I let go of my desire for esteem and affection. I let go of my desire for power and control. And finally, I let go of my desire to change the situation. To end this time with one of my favorite poems, and you all know Mary Oliver, the poet of nature and the now. You may know this one. It's called Mindful. Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It is what I was born for. To look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclimation, Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. Oh, good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the world, the ocean's shine, the prayers that are made out of grass. Thank you. And I'm going to ask Jackie to come up for a second. No, Jackie is our poet emeritus, and we all know that. And she has a beautiful poem that she would like to share, or I would like her to share. She's got to find her poem.
I brought it because you asked me to. I brought it because you asked me to, but I didn't know you'd make me follow Mary Oliver.
Or Rumi.
Oh, so everybody take a deep breath and clear your mind of what you heard before. And here is, I facilitate.
Closer.
Yeah. Well, we turned it on.
It's on, but it feeds back, so I'm sorry. I keep running back and forth trying to get it right. And
I'll go this way.
Like one of those
make a difference. I can't see the paper. I'll do my best.
Yeah.
This is what I use to occasionally to start off at the beginning of our. Now I can hear me better. The beginning of our centering prayer groups.
Okay. Here,
shall I just use this?
Just use that. Yeah.
If this doesn't work, I'm going to give up. Sit down.
Your lips.
It's called Breathe and Imagine. As a bare black branch etches itself across the moon, so hangs the soundless song of silence. Not a leaf stirs, no restless bird turns in its nest, and no footsteps echo along the path. So in this cocoon of precisely now, breathe and imagine. Imagine music without notes, softness without touch, sweetness with no taste, a prayer without words. Imagine a heart large enough to embrace the universe in a glowing field of gratitude. And in this space that holds all-knowing, it is thus that God speaks. Fear not, for lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of time. Rest now in the silence and find your truth.
Well, I can't think of two better concluding statements than the poem from Marianne and the poem from Jackie. Marianne, you have blessed us this morning. We all thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You've given us food for the journey. You've given us practices to take home and really use. So from the still, small voice that we've heard about over and over again this morning, we look forward next week to fire and wine with Consiglio, which Marianne has implied in her wonderful presentation, that out of that quiet arises the energy, that great transforming energy that we will hear more about next week. So remember to bring a little something, please, for Father Virgil's center. Give Marianne a final great thank you for her beautiful work with us this morning. Thank you, Mary Ann.